A message from Rome regarding abuse in Mexico? This week's piece examines a convergence of events that unfolded during Easter week, reading them as signals about power, legitimacy, and abuse within the Catholic Church. The piece juxtaposes two seemingly distant developments, reports of intimidation directed at Pope Leo XIV from actors linked to the U.S. Catholic far right, and the sudden suppression of a small but controversial religious organization in southern Mexico. Together, the piece argues, these episodes illuminate how sect-like movements attempt to impose their vision of Catholicism, and how unevenly church authorities respond when abuse is involved. The article opens by situating the moment. Easter coincided with reports that Cardinal Christophe Pierre, former Vatican nuncio to the United States, had been warned by the Trump administration about a hypothetical kidnapping of the Pope. Whether the warning was literal is treated as ultimately irrelevant. What matters, the author suggests, is the broader context, the appointment of Brian Birch, formerly of Catholic Vote, as U.S. ambassador to the Vatican symbolized a willingness by the American Catholic far right to pressure or housebreak the papacy if it diverges from their priorities. This dynamic is not new. For decades, organizations such as Catholic Vote and networks around figures like Steve Bannon have sought to domesticate church leadership, delegitimizing bishops and even popes they perceive as straying from a rigid, abortion-centered understanding of Catholic doctrine. These efforts intensified around the 2025 conclave, when Bannon and others declared Leo XIV's election rigged, echoing MAGA-style claims about U.S. elections while offering no evidence. The piece places these tactics within a historical continuum, noting that the idea of a hostage pope is not fanciful. It recalls the Avignon papacy and Pius IX's self-description as the prisoner in the Vatican. Against this backdrop, the focus shifts to Chiapas, Mexico. Just hours after reports about threats against the Pope surfaced, the Archdiocese of Tuxtla Gutiérrez suppressed the religious family of the Immaculate Heart and Holy Mercy, a small, locally rooted group known for sectarian practices. The decision, taken by Archbishop José Francisco González, is presented as striking precisely because González is a conservative prelate promoted under Benedict XVI, not a reformist appointee of Pope Francis. His ecclesial lineage and past reluctance to confront similar groups make the swiftness of the suppression unusual. The author examines González's background, his years in the Diocese of Campeche, his ties to powerful conservative figures, and argues that this was not a casual decision. While no public evidence explicitly links the Immaculate Heart Order to sexual abuse cases, at least for now, the silence surrounding the group's suppression and the speed of the process are treated as telltale signs of deeper problems. The Church's own recent history of clergy sexual abuse makes such silence, the author argues, inherently suspicious. The article then contrasts this decisiveness with Rome's broader pattern of intervention through apostolic administrators in dioceses under stress, often related to abuse survivors' claims. In many cases, including those in northern Mexico, unresolved abuse cases linger for years without reparations. This unevenness, a swift action against movements deemed dangerous, lethargy toward victims, forms a central critique. Further scrutiny of the Immaculate Heart Order reveals additional red flags, efforts to promote homeschooling under the label flexischooling, modeled on U.S. culture war frameworks, and attempts to recruit minors. These patterns echo those of other sectarian movements, such as the Heralds of the Gospel in Brazil or the Sodalicium of Christian Life in Peru, organizations later exposed as predatory and subject to Vatican sanctions. The piece broadens again to examine the legacy of the Sodalicium, noting how over two decades Rome struggled to address abuse within that group and only recently moved toward reparations. This context makes the Chiapas decision appear both exceptional and puzzling, especially given subsequent Vatican appointments, such as that of a lawyer known for defending sectarian groups, to advisory roles on abuse prevention. The article closes by returning to Mexico's north, citing ongoing cases where survivors and their families face institutional indifference. The contrast between the rapid suppression of the Immaculate Heart Order and the slow, theatrical responses to abuse victims in dioceses such as Ciudad Juárez underscores the author's central question. Is Rome truly signaling a new readiness to confront abusive, sect-like practices, or is this simply an isolated case? The answer remains unresolved, leaving readers to consider how the church can grow without endangering its faithful or silencing those it has harmed.